Welcome to a very special episode of the Perth Podcast.
In this episode, we are going to talk about Perth Autism Support and talk to someone about their experience as a parent of someone with autism as well.
That'll be me.
That's you.
Woo!
Welcome to the show, Ian.
Let's kick this off. Fortunate recently to have Angie from Perth Autism Support in the studio, who talked greatly about the business and about the, well, charity, not business, and what Perth Autism means to Perth and what kind of services that she has. And that's something you took on, Stoby.
Yeah, and it felt like what we put into episode 4 just wasn't enough to cover the great chat that was had.
It was a very small percentage of a very, very good interview.
Exactly.
Not from you, from her.
No, I
mean, obviously.
Yeah, I get that.
That goes without saying. but yeah, and we thought we should highlight the rest of it because it was so good.
Perth Autism Support is a registered charity, and we are based in Perth City, and we support 800 families throughout Perth and Kinross, and it's children and young people from the ages of 3 to 18 who have been diagnosed with autism or who are awaiting assessment for autism. So we support 240 autistic young people through our services each week, and we run from our centre in Perth but also from our rural hubs in Highland Perthshire, Crieff and Blairgowrie.
Oh wow. And say someone suspects that the child might be on the spectrum, but they aren't sure. What advice would you give to someone?
I would probably say to bear in mind that it's a long process. Autism as a neurodevelopmental condition takes a long time to go through the process of starting to notice differences in terms of development, to seeing if those differences in development are happening in one or more settings, and going through quite a rigorous process before you even get to that point of diagnosis. So I would, my advice would be, if anybody does have any concerns, is speak to nursery, speak to school, speak to other agencies that your young person's involved with, see if they've maybe noticed the same challenges or differences that you're noticing as parents, and then make an approach to referral to the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services if it's appropriate to do so. It's quite different because autism is different for every individual, so unfortunately there's not a set of criteria that you can kind of do a tick box checklist to get to that point. So probably my first thing would be, is if there are concerns or if there are worries, speak to other people involved with your young people and see if they have the same concerns.
Yep.
And here we are. As you say, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experiences as a parent with a boy with autism.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about it. Tell me a bit about your experience, I guess, going through the early stages of discovering it was autism.
Well, we're very fortunate as we are out in a small school, Luncarty School, and it was actually them started to drop hints that maybe something wasn't right when Sean was at nursery. And he, for the most part, we thought he was maybe just a bit slow. We'd had a girl before, and you know, girls generally develop a bit faster, and we're like, can't compare them, don't compare your children. But actually, he went for a test at CAMS to find out what was maybe going on with him, you know, due to what the nursery had said. But age was actually our problem. He was too young. They didn't know whether he didn't understand the question or couldn't answer the question. And then that raised too many question marks around a diagnosis at that time. So he isn't heavily autistic, if that's a thing. I don't even know how to measure these things anymore. They say if you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person. And that's very much the case. So we just didn't know. So he went back for a test in primary school. And not that long ago, actually, I'm talking, he must have been P4, P5, when, well, maybe P3, P4. I forget how old I am. Never mind how old he is.
So, I can remind you.
Please don't. But when he went back the second time, CAMS came back with a more positive, we are almost positively certain that Sean is on the spectrum.
Right.
And we were a wee bit gobsmacked by that. It was a bit of a whoa, what? You know, we just went from our son's a bit, you know, behind to okay, we're actually dealing with something here. Mm-hmm. And once that initial shock subsided, it was a lot easier to deal with, and actually a lot easier as a parent to understand his foibles, I suppose, you know. And early on, he would dance around the living room like he had too much energy, like he had no way of expressing whatever it was that was going on in that head of his.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd watch that and we were like, right, what's going on here? And if you, I didn't pull him up on it, but if you ever mentioned, you know, oh, Sean, you know, you're just having a wee dance round, he'd sort of stop looking and go, yeah, and then carry on his little dance. And it's almost like pacing. I'm waiting for a trough to appear in my carpet. But that's actually calmed down a lot over time. He seems to have slowed that down or stopped it or replaced it with actual verbalization of things. And I think that's what's getting better over time. You know, so, and as I say, he is an individual. He is who he is. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And I love it. And I'd love to spend a day in his head to figure out how it ticks compared to how mine ticks.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that was what, like a 4-year, 5-year process?
Yeah, it was a long time, 3 or 4 years for sure of getting by. And as I say, the reason I say we're lucky is that the school had already put things in place. So when the diagnosis came in, not much actually changed. Because the school had already sort of gone, look, we kind of know. And you know, you've got to respect the fact that these guys see so many kids coming through and they know. And I'm not going to, as much as I'm going to say the word normal, but it's not normal. And nothing's normal in my opinion. But, you know, they know when people are needing extra help or where they're needing extra support in certain places. So Sean's reading is exceptional, I would say. And you know, he is in the normal reading group with the rest of the class. Handwriting's god awful, which he'd self admit. But he's hypermobile as well, so he hasn't got the strength really in his hands, and he hasn't got the care in a world about writing. He just does not care. And the problem with not even autistic boys is if we don't care about the subject, generally we don't learn it because we don't care. And in his sense, well, yeah, and I think most of us work that way. So he struggles in that sense, but give him a laptop and he comes out with some really good stories and thinks about things in a way that we just don't.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating, you know. I watched a program with Chris Packham talking about his autism as an adult, and it was really interesting to see what Sean's going to go through in the next few years as he goes through adolescence and puberty and becomes a teenager. So that was really interesting for me. But he went to Silicon Valley and talked to the fact that a lot of people there are hiring people with autism because they think so differently. Yeah. They're the ones coming up with these new ideas for games, for applications, for things that, you know, that the average person just doesn't think about. And I like to think of autism as a sort of superpower more than it is anything else.
And that's sometimes what it is. It's like my early experience of it, when it started to come to the fore as such in social conscious, was that it was the brain was working too fast.
Yes.
And it was almost like a bottleneck when it came to communicating what was in there.
It's what's in can't come out. And when it does come out, it doesn't often make sense. I would argue my boy does get there eventually. And he's actually got a 3-day process thing going on. So when we took him to Legoland and Harry Potter World down in London, took us all, not just him, didn't just dump him. But it was 3 days later we heard about how good Harry Potter World was.
At the time
he was like, it's past my bedtime, when we're going home. And I was, you know, Sean, you enjoy yourself, dude. You know, we're here, it's good fun. And 3 days later he told us how good it was. But at the time he looked miserable. He didn't look like he was having a good time. But three days later, I really enjoyed those big robots and this, that, and the next thing. And it's that 3-day process that's quite interesting, that you can articulate or feel or do anything instantly that maybe you and I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Just when you're saying it takes a long time, I'm guessing there's no kind of it'll show by the time they're, you know, 5 years old or anything like that. It could be at any point. Yeah,
it could be any age. And, you know, you can be diagnosed autistic as an adult as well. So because it is a spectrum condition, which means that everybody shares the same traits or differences, but it will look different in every individual. Mm-hmm. So for some, it might be very, very obvious from a young age. They might get a diagnosis when they're preschool, at nursery. For others, particularly females, it can be much, much later on. So it could be into secondary school. And actually, we have a lot of young people who get their diagnosis and then parents start to recognise similarities in their own upbringing or in the way they were as children, and they will then pursue a diagnosis as an adult.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Never thought of that, actually.
Yeah. It's one of those things that is very much often thought of as a childhood thing, but actually if you're an autistic child, you will become an autistic adult.
Yeah.
So the same goes, so you can get that diagnosis as an adult as well as mm-hmm. a child.
One of the things that Angie talks about is that it can be quite a lengthy process. And you mentioned yourself, you know, you went to CAMHS. Mm-hmm. So what is CAMHS?
They're specialists, basically, in that field where they right. diagnose and they do many tests on your child about capability, I suppose. So there's a lot of tests about how they react to certain situations, how they react to things. I remember before getting a lot of balance tests as well with Sean, but that wasn't CAMHS, it was a separate department, which the wife will know better than I do, sorry. Mm-hmm. But I was there, I remember it all, and they were testing the balance, we're testing the being able to grip and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But the CAMHS are actually specialists in diagnosing that sort of issue, if you want to, again, hate calling it that, but it's very difficult to talk about without seeing something like that, isn't it? So, you know, and for him as well, for the understanding, I think understanding yourself is incredibly important, where, you know, I've got a friend who has ADHD, and he, when he found out what he had, life got a lot better for him, because he researched it, he found out what would irritate the average person that he might do, and he actually started to rein that in. I think it's actually really important to know and accept what it is that you might be facing in life in that sense. And we empower Sean with it. We don't mm-hmm. tell him it's an excuse not to be good at spelling or not to be good at anything. He'll put commas and full stops in where I don't see most people doing, you know. Mm-hmm. So he isn't, we're not holding him back because of any of this. It's actually, to me, it's empowered, you know. And I've said it before about other things like dyslexia, for example. But you've got a spell checker. You know you're dyslexic, so use a spell checker. That's mm-hmm. fine. Or ask someone. That's fine as well. And that's you empowering yourself with whatever it is that you have. Don't hide it away. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to talk about it. This is what I'm trying to do here. Say it's okay to talk about this.
Yeah. And in this world where labels, it can be quite a divisive subject at the best of times, mm-hmm. having not that label, but that diagnosis is liberating, like you say, in a way, because it gives you direction.
It did, absolutely did give us direction. And actually, the initial, as I said, was a bit of a slap in the face of reality, I suppose, as much as it was a bit of a shock. You're like, whoa, what now? Mm-hmm. And I remember the wife and I going home in the car, because it's in Dundee, in a bit of a daze, going, so what? Mm. You know, and there's that sort of disbelief. But then when you get over that and you start to read about it, and then, of course, all the pieces started to fit at that point. When you start reading about it and go and watch films about it and all that, and you're like, ah, idiots. Yes, that's so obvious now that you know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And you know, hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? So, yeah, but it was really liberating for him as well to start to understand. He's still too young, I think, to actually get it. But he shows signs occasionally of knowing much more than he lets on, you know. use your boy thing. Why do it yourself if someone else will do it for you, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a really interesting process, and what I love is the age group that he's in at the school, they're very accepting of him. He doesn't get bullied or slagged off for doing his little dance when he's nervous or when he's excited or anything like that. And he has got all these little foibles, you know, that he's got. But I think the older he's getting, the more aware he is that he does it. And he actually starts to clamp down on it, whether that's right or wrong. But that's what he does.
That's how his brain's working with
that. And that's how he's dealing with it, I suppose, in public. And, you know, going back to Chris Packham's thing again, and love him or hate him, taking away all the animal rights stuff that people will argue about Chris, that programme about autism for me was so powerful for me to understand Sean and even understand the idea of how much Chris suppresses his autism every day to be normal, end quote.
Yeah.
Every day. And he actually holds himself against himself. Like, there was one point where on the Really Wild Show, which you and I are both old enough to remember, that he went on a little tangent live on air. And to this day, I mean, I'm going back 20-odd years here, to this day, he still hates himself for that.
Aye.
The audience were laughing with him, not at him, but he still hates the fact that he went off course and let his autism out, as it were.
Almost like it took over.
Yeah, and he hates himself for that. And I'm like, I actually tweeted him. I never got a reply. Chris, if you're listening, reply to my tweet. That you shouldn't be so wind up about that, because actually I found it very funny, not at you but with you. I thought it was a really interesting take on what, you know, what was being said, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was, but it was a joke. It was funny. It was actually genuinely funny, but he thinks that's a big mistake. And interestingly, he talked about how the only thing he ever loved growing up was a bird of prey that he took on, that he helped, he nourished, and he brought up. And he says, I probably love my parents, but not in a way that I loved the bird. I understood the love of the bird. I never understood the love of my family or whatever, but this I got. And when that bird died, I was devastated and close to suicide. And that's what started to ring alarm bells for me, you know, with Sean growing up, to keep an eye on things like that.
Yeah.
Of what is it he's attached to? What is it that is going to make or break him as a person?
Yeah. And that's a good thing to be aware of. And I guess the other point is the fact that Chris Packham, with his autism, has been a successful presenter. Yeah. He's a successful photographer. He travels the world.
Yeah.
So it's not something to think, oh no, they've got autism. Yeah. That's it.
It's game over. It's
that's
not
all
game
they
over.
Are.
Yeah. He might not be a brain surgeon. He might not be a, you know, whatever. Might be. But actually, the brains work in such a way that they are capable of many things. And, you know, Chris lives by himself in a cabin, not even with his fiancée or whatever, his girlfriend or whatever it was at the time. He lives with his dogs in the middle of the woods away from people.
Right.
Because people are his irritant, as it were. He doesn't like that. And you know, you see kids with autism that with noise, loud noises get them. Now, in the way that Sean deals with that, he will start to dance around a little bit if he's not comfortable, but also I just see him closing his ears. So we're actually quite fortunate in a way that he doesn't have that severe reaction to loud noises, but he doesn't like them.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen examples of that up at the Hermitage.
Right.
About a mile into a walk, and I've seen parents having, like, dealing with the child having one of those moments kind of thing. And it's
and have you seen the videos of what they try and replicate to show what's going on when that happens?
No.
It's basically, it's just everything. Information overload. Imagine everything you're seeing and hearing now is multiplied by 10 and you can't filter it out. The noise of the traffic out our window there is just as loud as me talking to you. On top of the noise of the fans of the computer, all that stuff is just all in, and like, there's no way to process it. The filter is gone, and that's what's happening. That's the way I saw it anyway in the video. That's how I interpreted it.
Like a massive sensory overload.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
wow. And how can you stop that? I mean, shouting at a child is only adding to the problem.
How do you do it?
You know. So we are quite. I feel quite fortunate in a way, and actually, that's a really good point where we felt like we were frauds. When we went to Perth Autism Support,
right,
we thought we didn't have it that bad. So why do we deserve the help?
With regards to the activities and things that you get involved with, what is there for people to do in Perth?
Yeah, so we have a full family support that we take with support services. So for our young people, we have a range of activities, out-of-school activities. It's not a play scheme, it's not a respite service, it's very much about skills development. So we start by offering lots of different types of activities, because if we have the young person engaged in the subject matter, it makes development of skills much, much easier. So everything ranging from our creative learning programme that we deliver in partnership with Horse Cross, right through to social groups, cookery groups, music club. So there's a whole range of different interests that young people can join in with. And the whole purpose is to work in small groups, to develop communication skills, to develop social skills, so they are more confident and more able to go out into the wider community and be able to have the same opportunities as other children and young people.
And does that offer skills and development for the carers and parents as well as the children?
Yeah, so in terms of parents, we offer a family support service and a school liaison service. So family support takes a number of different routes. It can be group training, group workshops. It can be peer support, one-to-one. It can be coffee and chat and something social, right up to intensive support within the family home. So our family support team will go in and support around any particular issue that the family are looking to address, and then also we support families within schools, so within planning meetings for young people, and sharing what works for us in PAS that might be able to be used in school, in the school setting, just so the young person has that same approach from all areas of the community that are supporting them.
So you've got quite a close working relationship with the schools as well then? Yeah,
absolutely. So we have a school liaison coordinator, and that service has worked within all secondary schools in Perth and Kinross, and a third of the primary schools in Perth and Kinross. So we do a range of classroom support for teachers. We will do specific work with young people in schools. We deliver training and inset days and twilight sessions for teachers as well. So there's quite a lot of range of supports out there for schools.
As Angie just mentioned there, they offer a lot of support and development classes. They offer the skills development as well. What's been your experience of Perth Autism Support in that way, from when you walked in the door up into, you know, getting involved with them?
Fan-bleeding-tastic. I normally say something else, but probably not in the podcast.
Language.
They have been amazing. Now, when we went there, we kind of felt a wee bit like a fraudster. Like, why do we deserve the help? We don't have that child, like I mentioned earlier, that has a sensory overload problem, and it's not severe autism, if that's a thing. But the whole concept of being able to go there, and even just for the people that are there, the people that take the classes, get your child and actually somehow manage to give information across them that I just haven't been able to do. Mm-hmm. And my prime example is my boy and I go to Warhammer. He loves his Warhammer now. And he'd been going for a few weeks and hadn't once asked what anyone's name was or whatever anyone else was doing. Not a concern to him at all. Mm-hmm. And what PAS has managed to do is get that sort of learned behaviour in of asking. So within a week of going to two classes, one on a Tuesday night and one on the Saturday, on the Sunday morning, he walks into Warhammer, sits down, "What's your name, by the way?" Now that's 1 week of Perth Autism Support. 1 week. And they've managed to get across to him somehow that this is the social acceptable thing to do. You should ask what people's names are. You should take an interest. I'll give you a prime example. He went years without knowing anyone in his class's name. Didn't tell you. The boy with the jeans or whatever, that's all you could get. Or what's your teacher's name? I don't know.
Right.
And that's because he doesn't care. He doesn't see why that's important, from what I can tell, so he doesn't remember it.
Right.
Although, in saying that, I'm terrible with names too.
What's your name again?
Andy, I don't know. But they've been really, really good. So right now he's going to the Lego group on a Tuesday, where they interact with each other and they build and they do projects and all that sort of stuff. I don't know, to be honest, what they actually get up to, because I don't go in. We don't get to go in. It's his time. It's not our time. It's not for us to intervene. It's his time.
And that
it's
must
really
be
nice.
One of their established kind of processes. Separate the parents from your
take
world.
Take them out of that and move them on. And I'm not saying that's the same for everyone, but certainly I've never seen any parent go in. Mm-hmm. You go to the door opens at exactly 1:15, exactly to the second. The child goes in, you pick them up 45 minutes later, and they come out skipping, happy. And it's great. It's really good. I used to go to programming class on a Saturday. That doesn't happen anymore. There's another class he goes to, like social group, I think it's called, on a Saturday. And all of this stuff has just been brand new. And it's not a massive amount of time. You're talking an hour and a half a week, but it's enough.
Yeah.
And the support and the opportunities that they provide is, in my opinion, invaluable.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot more kind of focus going on in businesses and places like that. You know, you've got the relaxed screening at the cinema. Are you finding a lot more companies are now approaching for advice on quiet periods or, you know, sort of relaxed environments for autism.
We've worked quite closely with a number of corporate organisations in Perth and Kinross, particularly around retail, and that idea of quiet spaces and quiet hours, and why are they being used? So very much our approach is it for marketing, or is there a real understanding as to why you're doing it and why you're promoting something? So the organisations that we've particularly worked with, it's really been around looking at and understanding why. Mm-hmm. So it becomes meaningful, because actually if you're doing it to tick a marketing box, you're not actually meeting the needs of the individuals. Mm-hmm. I am the parent of an autistic young person, and I certainly know for me, I don't want to go shopping, for example, in 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning when I've worked all week.
Yeah.
Trying to get my young person out of bed would be nigh on impossible. So it's about offering choice. It's about offering them in a way that you can develop skill, and it's about offering them in a way that's meaningful, so we can develop the young person to be included in all aspects of the community.
Yeah. So if you're in a business and you're thinking about having a relaxed or quiet period, definitely get in touch with Autism
Yeah,
Support.
Absolutely. We can have a chat about what it means to your business. We will come in and support sort of looking at the environment to see if there's any easy changes that can be made. Because it's really important to remember that for a business to go into doing something like this, we have to make changes that are low on resources, low on time, and low on impact to the business. So yeah, it's really important to remember that as well. If anybody hasn't registered and wants to find out more services, then they can contact us at our centre at Market Street, or pop on the website and fill in the contact form there, which is perthautismsupport.org.uk.
Excellent. Yeah. So like Angie said there, you know, getting in touch with Perth Autism Support either through the website or by going into their building in Market Street, as a sort of first step, like, what advice would you give to anyone who was thinking about that
just,
as a parent?
Just do it, because they will be the best person to say whether you should be heading here or not. That's what it comes down to. Like, as I say, we had a bit of imposter syndrome going on where we didn't think that Sean was enough autistic to justify or warrant taking a space up. But actually, they will be able to advise you very well. So just ask the question. They might just want to meet your child and go, right, where are we at? What is it they have difficulty with? And, you know, social situations are normally the issue here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally you could be sitting crying in a corner and Sean will still start to talk to you about superheroes and things like nothing is wrong. So, you know, that social side of it, even if it's just that, they can help you. I know they can help you. They've helped us.
Yeah.
So do get in touch. Email, I find, was the initial way to get in touch with them, you know, and after that, they are just brand new, really good. Folks, remember, it's a charity. They do need your funding. Get your money at your wallet. I'm looking at you, Stoby. No, really, get your money at your wallet.
Oh, right, here it comes.
Here comes the moths.
Sitting on it. Sorry, man.
But no, just get in touch. Just get in touch. Can't do any harm. Don't ask, don't get.
Thanks, Ian.
It's almost Christmas.
It's almost Christmas.
It's just to lighten it up. We've got the Christmas single from Perth Autism Support.
We have.
Get on and buy that. It's a great way to support them as well.
Yep.
And good way to get the awareness out there of mm-hmm. their charity. But yeah, it's almost Christmas. So this will be us until the new year, I think. I think we're going to take a wee break. You know, maybe what, January 2022
or something like that, maybe 23, yeah.
But no, we'll be back in the new year. Just keep an eye on our social media sites. So, the Perth Podcast on most things, Facebook, Twitter, the Instagram, the website, fcpod.net.
That's the one.
Absolutely. So just check all that out and get us followed, get us subscribed, hit all those buttons that you get told to hit all the time, but actually do it, do it. And tell your friends about us. Spread the love. But yeah, beyond that, have a great Christmas and
a happy new year.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.